Thanks for tuning in to our Centerpoint Church podcast. We hope you'll be challenged and inspired as we unpack God's direction and plan for our lives. Let's join into today's message.
Well, hello, everyone. I want to welcome you to Centerpoint Church here today. It is so good to have all of you and everyone that is joining us online on our online campus. Thank you so much for being here. Pastor Brett, thank you and the team for doing what you do every single Sunday. If you're ever in the chats, they're there waiting for you. And today we are starting the new year with a new series called Next Chapter. You know, a chapter in the book represents a main division, a clear break from one moment to the next. Let me ask you, does anyone feel that they need the next chapter in their life right now? I can't believe I'm the only one. I'm needing the next chapter. I am ready. And when we look at the story of God in our life, we can see it in the sense of chapters. Because when you put your faith in Jesus, this is certainly a main division from what was to now what is. And as you grow in Christ, there are many new chapters in your life and in your faith that are yet to be written. Yet for everyone who comes to Christ, this new chapter can have the same title, Redeemed. Jesus is our redemption. Amen. And I want to take the next 4 weeks to look at four stories in the Bible and see this chapter of redemption played out in these different lives. We're going to start today in just a little bit looking at Adam and Eve. Next week, we're going to look at someone named Gideon. Then we're going to look at the long-haired diva named Samson. And we're going to wrap it up looking at a man named Saul. And my hope and prayer is that we all see and understand the need and place of redemption in our life. It's funny because through my life, there's a lot of things that I thought I needed, things I was desperate for, things that I didn't know how I would live if I didn't get them. When I was a little child, it was an Atari. Oh man, I mean, I'm dating myself a little bit, I get that, but I wanted the Atari so bad. When I was a little older, into G.I. Joes. I was into G.I. Joes far older in life than I probably should have been. But there was this battleship carrier in G.I. Joe. It was the biggest, baddest G.I. Joe toy. I thought I needed that toy. When I was in high school, I thought I needed to be first string in football. As I got a little older, I thought I needed a wife. And all these things are great. Especially my wife, if she's watching, by the way. Like, you are absolutely great. But with a few more decades of life, I finally realized that what I truly needed, above all else, as a human, the most important thing above everything else was, in fact, to be redeemed by God. The most important thing. And so I thought it was fitting that we learn why we need this. And learn what we are being redeemed from and what it's going to take to get us to that next chapter. So let's begin in the beginning. If you've been doing the Read the Bible in the Year journal, as I hope many of you are right now, you would have read what we're about to read on day one. And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to open up and get ready. In Genesis chapter 1, we learn that God creates everything, and he creates Adam. In chapter 2, God creates Eve. And in verse 15 of chapter 2, God gives Adam and Eve one simple rule, just one. It says this, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." Adam has a job. "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will certainly die.'" There are a lot of theories as to the purpose of this tree. And by the way, they're fascinating. Like, you can go down rabbit trail after rabbit trail about this tree and its fruit. But at the end of the day, we don't know what God's ultimate plan was with it. But there is no mistaking the consequences at this stage for Adam and Eve if they ate of it. God was abundantly clear. You will certainly die. So let's jump now to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to go through the entirety of Genesis chapter 3. So again, I'd love for you to have your Bibles and highlight and underline when things pop out at you as we read through it. And as we're starting to go through this, I'm going to stop at certain sections and just kind of tease it out and explain a little bit about what's going on. Genesis 3:1. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman. 'For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it." A few weeks ago, we taught on spiritual warfare in the series Anything But Ordinary. And right here in Genesis chapter 3, we see the first recorded moment of, in fact, spiritual warfare. And we learned a few weeks back that there is a real battle for our lives, for our souls. And because the devil hates God, he hates us being made in the image of God, the devil wants to destroy everything about humanity and everything about our relationship with God. That is his primary focus, is to make sure that we do not connect to God, that we don't know about him, that we don't serve him, that we don't worship him, that we have no connection to him. And he is crafty and he knows how to lie and manipulate. And we see that is exactly what he is doing to Eve in this moment as Adam is there. I guess he's just watching this, wondering how it's going to play out. Doesn't want to make her mad so he doesn't get involved. I don't know. But it's all happening right here. And so, what did the serpent do? Well, as he's talking to Eve, he said the most famous lie, I believe, in human history. Four words. Did God really say? Did God really say? So simple, right? Just these four words, yet these four words unraveled humanity. And the devil convinced Eve to ultimately question God's words. There's so much here. There's so much depth to what is going on right now. Eve is adding things. You can't touch it. God never said you can't touch it. But here, as the devil is questioning God to Eve, she buys it. Friends, again, I could preach an entire message on this, but this was the devil's first tool to bring down humanity. And what I find fascinating is I believe it's still his favorite go-to to get people to fall. When Jesus was being tempted three times, the devil tried to use God's words against Jesus. And I promise you, many of the things that you and I need to be redeemed from right now in our life are the things that you have justified are okay, even though the Bible clearly says that this is not God's will for your life, even when the Bible clearly defines something as sin. I mean, think about it. How often in our minds do we say, did God really say? Like, did he really mean it? Did he really mean it for us in 2022? I mean, is this something that he really wants me to live by? Did God really say that sex was only meant in marriage between a man and a woman? I mean, did he really say that? Did God really say that we are to love and serve those that are prisoners or refugees or the poor and the sick? I mean, did he really say that for us as Americans right now? Like, come on. Did God really say that we need to forgive people that actually wronged us? I mean, did he really know what I've gone through? Did God really say that greed and being self-serving is ultimately wrong? I worked hard for this. Did God really say that lying is wrong? I mean, sometimes you just got to get out of trouble at work or to get away with something from your spouse. Did God really say it? Can we all be honest? Every one of us has hidden behind, did God really say? Because when you start questioning the word of God, you can justify anything. When you start questioning the word of God, I think it's one of the reasons why right now a lot of people are being challenged as they're reading through the word of God every day through the journal. It's like, wow, that's convicting. That's challenging. That's telling me there's something in my life that I don't know if I want to live that way. And quickly we'll read something we don't like and we'll say, did God really say? Friends, the devil created that lie and we perpetuate it all the time. Did God really say? And so Adam and Eve, as a result of did God really say, ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. See, before this, they only knew good. That's all they experienced was good. And the devil was right. Now they're going to be like God and know what evil is. Because once they ate it, evil became real. Once they ate it, they sinned. And now they know. They disobeyed God. They now know what evil is. You know, sometimes when I'm dealing with my own temptations and my own consequences, I think of this story, and I don't know about you, but I love to get mad at Adam and Eve. Anyone else? Like when I'm going through it, when I'm dealing with the consequences of sin in my life, when I'm dealing with sickness, when I'm dealing with death, when I'm dealing with temptation, when I'm dealing with the consequences of falling into my temptation, I sometimes think of Adam and Eve. I'm like, what is wrong with you? You just feel the frustration, right? But over years, I've come to learn something about myself. If I were there, and it was Brian and Eve, right? I'll be honest, I don't think I would even needed the serpent to make me fall, right? Like, God would have been like, Brian, you know, you must not eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. And suddenly you hear that biting and an apple sound. You know, God's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, this tree? You know, I don't think it would have taken me that long. I can't get mad at Adam and Eve because I know my own propensity to do what is wrong, to break the rules, to fall into sin. I don't blame them. And the thing is, as we're seeing this, as the story unfolds, we then realize, though, the level of the consequences of this one action, the moment that sin was introduced to humanity, the moment, I would argue, our very DNA changed from a DNA that would not age to a DNA that now has sin in it, which now is going to lead to sickness and ultimately to death. There's always a consequence to sin. In verse 7, it goes on and then says, then their eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. I want you to see that instantly Adam and Eve realized that they had sinned, and now they tried to cover their sin and their shame. They realized their nakedness, and what was innocent a moment ago suddenly, for some reason, now became something shameful. They instantly knew that they needed redemption, and they tried to take care of it themselves. Friends, I believe that many of us, if we're being honest with ourselves, are living a life covered in fig leaves that we've sewn together to try to hide our life. We're trying to hide our sin. We're trying to hide our shame. We're trying to hide our past. We're trying to hide those moments that we have sinned, the mistakes of our lives, the times that we've deliberately even sinned against God. And we now feel the reality of the sin and shame of our life. Every single person knows what I'm talking about. If there's ever any level of honesty within ourselves, you can't look at your life and not see the moments that you've sinned, the moments that you've done evil, the moments that you've done things against other people, the moments you've done things against yourself. And what do we do as humanity as a result of that? We hide. We hide behind whatever exterior that we can put on social media, making sure that everyone sees that our life is perfect. As a Christian, we'll often hide in church, pretending that we're a great follower of Christ, hoping that no one finds out about things that we're doing on the internet, things that we've done in our past, moments that we are so disappointed because we fell into moments of temptation and sin. We hide. See, the truth is, like Adam and Eve, I think we know as humanity that we need redemption from this evil in our life. But often, until you have a moment like this when it's being explained, so many in the world don't know where to find it, so they just keep hiding, hoping that no one finds out, hoping that it won't catch up to them, hoping that somehow, maybe if they're a good enough person, whatever that may mean, that the consequences won't be too bad for you. Human nature is to hide, especially from God. Hear me. The problem is, he knows. You can't hide from God. You can't run from your sin. And even scarier, friends, you can't run from the consequences of your sin. There's no escaping it. There's no way out of it. It's been there since Adam and Eve and every generation since, to you and to me. It's there. Now, if that was the end of the story, that would be pretty terrifying, but praise God, this is in fact still a story of redemption. And this is where the next chapter begins. Here's where the redemption of God for Adam and Eve and really all of us begins. Look at verse 8. It says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?'" See, God knows what's happening, friends. Let's make no mistake about it. Yet, what I find fascinating is he is still pursuing Adam and Eve. He's still engaging in their relationship. He still called out to them. Of course, he knew where they were, yet he gave them the opportunity to answer. Verse 10, Adam answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit of the tree and I ate it." This is one of my favorite lines in the Bible. Let's just be honest. I mean, you read that. Come on, man. Let's just own it. Every single one of us would have done the same thing. Dad is mad. We're going to blame the wife, right? It was all her. And then what does she do? Verse 13. "Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is it that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate it.'" And so much about human nature right here. See how we always want to pass the blame for our sin onto someone else? Couldn't have been me. I'm too good of a person. I never would have done this on my own. And we all make these excuses. When we look at our life and the things that we've done wrong and the sin of our life, we're really quick to be like, "Hey, you don't understand how my parents raised me. It's their fault," right? "It is definitely my parents' fault. It's because of the state of our country, you know? Trump, Biden, it's their fault. It's because of how she looked. I mean, it's not my fault. She just looked, you know? I mean, not my fault. It's because life isn't fair. It's just the circumstance I found myself in. It's not my fault that this is where I ended up in life. Oh, it's because I was depressed. It was my emotional state. It wasn't my fault. It was the emotions." And again, I just want us to see that we are no different than these two. These two that we quickly vilify and say, "Oh, if I were there, I would have done it differently." No, you probably wouldn't have. We pass the blame. We pass the responsibility of our sin onto someone else instead of owning it and saying, "No, I fell. I let temptation get the better of me. I disobeyed God." Now, I want to read the rest of the chapter here from 14 down to 24. Let's finish out the story and see what happens. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." Just real quick, I don't have time to go into this, but many do believe this is the first messianic promise of Jesus. Others don't, but you see that there's a moment here of what's going to still happen in the future one way or the other. It goes on verse 16, it says, "To the woman he said, 'I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you.' To Adam he said, 'Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return.' Adam named his wife Eve, because she would become the mother of all the living. And the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, 'The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil.'" Notice the interesting plural there when we're looking at the reality of the Trinity. "And the Lord God said, 'The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever.'" Again, also fascinating, but I don't have time to get into that. Verse 23. "So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life." By the way, if you put that into your GPS, it won't get you anywhere. I'm sorry, but I've always been curious to see this. And we find in this last section of the story of creation, we see the redemptive hand of God. And I want to make sure we don't miss this, because sometimes as we think about God in the Old Testament, we think that he is different than the God of the New Testament, and that is absolutely not true. We see here the mercy and the redemptive heart of God. And there's two things I just want to draw your attention to. First, God didn't kill Adam and Eve. Right? I mean, I don't know about you, but if I were God in this moment, right, I'd be like, "I am done. Gazelles, it's your turn," right? "We're going to try with one of these other animals. I'm going to put my image in them. Let's see what we can do," because clearly this creation of humanity was not able to do it. "I'm done with them." Yes, as a result of sin, there was now going to be death, but there was an instant death. Because God still gave them and all of their future offspring an opportunity for redemption, to start over. God still had great plans and hope for these people that still disobeyed and rebelled against them. We see God has a plan of redemption. And we also see in the way he kind of talks to Adam and Eve. For example, to Eve, he says in verse 16, "To the woman, he said, 'I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children.'" And now I know you hear that and you just hear the punishment, but there's also redemption in this, because it's not like he made her sterile. He didn't say, like, "You two are going to live your life, die. It's over after you." No, he still gave Eve hope. He still allowed it, as it even says in the text, as Adam names her Eve, because she would become the mother of all the living. That's redemptive terminology. Hope for the future, hope for the next generation, that it's not over with them. This is God's redemption at work in humanity. To Adam, he says in verse 19, "By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food." The all-you-can-eat buffet of the Garden of Eden is over. That's a bummer, yes. But at the same time, he says, you're going to have to work hard for your food. That's a result of sin. But here's the good news. You're still going to get food, right? Like when we eat something delicious, that is still showing the redemption of God, because he did not have to make it that way. He could have made all food taste like tofu. But God still even gave redemption in food. And God made a way Food represents the sustaining of nutrients and life and the continuation of humanity. God is at work. And friends, here's the reality of sin. You know this as well as I do. There are always consequences to it. And so many of our problems in life stem from the moments of sin. There's going to be pain because we sin. We don't sin, and then there's a get out of consequence-free card here on earth. There's always going to be consequences. It's as a result of sin that we have eternal separation from God on our own. It's because of sin that there's such relational issue that we find in the world. Because of sin, there is sickness. Because of sin, there's the problems of the world. There's always consequences, but God did not leave it there. He had a plan. And the second thing that we see here that I just want to draw your attention to that shows God's redemption in verse 21 says, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Here, this is a moment of God's act of grace comes before his act of judgment. How interesting is that? He doesn't kick them out and then do this. He first prepares them before they have to leave the garden. They didn't leave naked and vulnerable. God sent them out still prepared for the terrain that they were going to find. Adam and Eve tried to clothe themselves with leaves, but now God is clothing them with something of substance. He takes care of them. It shows his love for them. And so here's the deal, friends. Why did God let them live? I think that's the ultimate question you have to ask yourself in reading this. Like, why did God let Adam and Eve live? Because he didn't need to. He would have been just as just to end them right then and there. Well, he let them live because he had a plan. See, I don't know why, but hear me. God loves us. And God loves you. He loves you. You are valuable to God. You are made in a way by God. He's made your body. He has made your soul. He knows everything about you. He knows everything wrong you've done and everything good you've done. And despite everything, God does love you. And it's here that I get really excited because what was broken by Adam wasn't the end for humanity. God had a redemptive plan. And in God's plan, if one man ruined it, he was going to allow one man to ultimately fix it. There's this great verse in 1 Corinthians 15 that the Apostle Paul says. He tells us in verse 22, for in Adam all die. Because of Adam's sin, we all have sin. Death is a part of our existence. But then he says this, so in Christ, all will be made alive. He then says a few verses later in 45, so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, being Jesus, a life-giving spirit. So yeah, this happened as a result of Adam. Death happened as a result of Adam. Sin happened as a result of Adam. But God had a plan, and his name is Jesus, the most glorious name, the name above all names. His name is Jesus. And because of Jesus, we are able to have life. He makes us alive. See, friends, here is the story. Here is the next chapter. For some of you, this is a reminder of what he has already done. For others of you, this may be the first time you're fully hearing it and understanding it. This is your next chapter. And if you're new here to Centerpoint, you're here for the first time, you're watching for the first time, I have some great news to share with you. This is why I became a pastor. Because you don't have to hide behind your fig leaves anymore. You don't have to hide your shame trying to put on this false pretense that everything is good and you've got things under control and you're ultimately gonna make it. You don't have to fake it any longer. And the shame that you feel in your life no longer needs to define you because your past is in fact your past when you come to know who Jesus is. You don't have to live a life without God. And you may think, I'm unworthy of him. Yes, you are. We all are. This has nothing to do with being worthy. This has everything to do with God's lavished love for us. And some of you may wonder, does God hate me or not? He does not. He's not happy with all of your decisions, don't get me wrong, but he loves you. And Jesus is the answer to this problem. He answered it on the cross when Jesus, unlike Adam, lived a perfect life, sinless, and was willing to die on the cross for you and for me. He took the penalty for every sin in our life that anyone who asks for forgiveness in the name of Jesus will be forgiven and therefore restored to how we should have been if Adam had never fallen. We are made new. I've talked a lot about redemption today. I want to make sure you know what this word means. It's defined as this: the act of gaining or regaining possessions of something in exchange for a payment, also buying one's freedom. Friends, that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. For our sin, he paid for it on the cross so we could regain our relationship with God. Redemption. It's the chapter we all must read and live. But now it's up to you. It's up to you to turn the page to the next chapter. And it starts with admitting. Adam and Eve tried to hide their sin. God called it out. And friends, in the same way, he is calling your name, but you have to admit it. He's calling your name saying, I want to have a relationship with you, but you have to say, I know that I'm hiding behind these fig leaves trying to hide my sin. I have to admit that I have in fact sinned against God. And once you've done that, then you can say, but I know Jesus has died on the cross for me. And if I ask for forgiveness in his name, I will be forgiven. Friends, I want to close now with a prayer. And so I'm going to ask that if you want redemption in your life, if you want to leave the shame behind, if you want to be made new, if you want to come alive in Christ, I want to pray and I want you right now to pray along with me. Will you shut your eyes and bow your heads? Jesus, we come before you. And if anyone out there wants to take this step of redemption in you, just pray this with me. Pray it out loud. Pray it in your head. He will hear you. But just say, Jesus, I know that I have sinned. I know that I have done things against you. And Jesus, I want to thank you for dying on the cross for me. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Now show me how to live for you. Amen. And if anyone has said that prayer along with me right now, I want you to hear this. The work of Jesus just defeated the work of Adam in your life. Your sin is forgiven. You are made new. And I'm going to ask you, please don't just hear this and then move on. I want you to go in the chat and ask for prayer. I want you to email us. I want you to let us know so that we can help you grow in this journey of what it is to fully live out the redemption we have in Christ. Friends, I want to thank you so much for being here, for hearing this message, for letting the work of Jesus remind many of us and lead us maybe for the first time today in the redemptive story of God. Jesus, thank you for who you are and for what you have done for us. Thank you for your love.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged by today's message. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page and follow us on social media at CenterPointNY on Instagram and CenterPoint Church on Facebook. For more information and ways to connect, visit our website at cpchurch.com.